Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Jacqueline Sova, and today we will be studying Perek Yedalet, Chapter 14. We learned last Perek that Yeshayahu turns his attention to Bavel, foretelling of their rise and fall years before they got any power of their own. To the rest of the world, the Babylonians were yet another nation under the Assyrian rule, far from any power. So this message from Yeshayahu seemed foreign to his listeners. Our parak continues describing the downfall of the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar, and notes that with their downfall came the rise of the Jewish people. It is a parak full of hope and growth for the Jewish people, and revenge and retribution for the Babylonian people. Ki yirachim Hashem es Yaakov uvachar od b'Yisrael. Because Hashem will have mercy on Yaakov, and he will again choose Yisrael. V'hinicham al admasam, he will settle them on their land. V'nilva hager alayhem, v'nisbachu al beis Yaakov, the stranger will become attached to them, and they will be added to the house of Yaakov. Ki yirachim Hashem, returning the Jewish people to their land was out of rachamim, mercy, because they were Yaakov. What Hashem calls them in their weakened, less ideal state. They did not do the teshuva they needed to do. They are not yet Yisrael, the nation at their highest level. Remember, the exile only lasted 70 years, perhaps not enough time to mature them. But this pasuk makes two promises. They will be returned in their Yaakov state after the 70 years with a rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, Ubachar od b'Yisrael, but a time will come when they embody Yisrael, the ideals of Torah, and will be returned once again with the third and final Beis HaMikdash. At the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, there were many who converted. There were also nations who helped the Jewish people return to their homelands. The Jewish people were heading home to finally live the life they were destined to and inspire the world to come close to Hashem. It was a testimony to the Jewish people that nations wanted to support their return to the land of Israel, inspiring the world to be servants of Hashem. Freedom from the Babylonian Empire meant a three-pronged redemption. Me'atzbacha, from psychological emotional pain. Umeragzecha, from all anger and grief. Umin ha'avoda hakasha, from physical struggles. Once Bavel is destroyed, people will sing, Ich shavas noges, shafta madheva. How has the oppressor ceased and arrogance has come to an end? This reminds me of David HaMelech's reaction over Shaul and Yonatan's death. Ich naflu giborim. How have the mighty fallen? But instead of David's sad, heartbroken tone, the people are saying it in a rejoiceful manner. Ich naflu giborim. How amazing that the strong and mighty have fallen. This is a prayer of thanks to Hashem. Thank you for overturning the wicked, for bringing an end to their evil empire. Nachash shakta kol ha'aretz, patzchu rina. The whole world is now at rest and is quiet. It erupts in joyousness. The Gemara in Shabbos says, there was no laughter during Nebuchadnezzar's entire rule. The fear of their leader was very real. He was a leader who would act with zero mercy, even with his close advisors and family. He would overturn a city if he felt they wronged him in any way. He would jail people and never reconsider their sentence. So you can imagine that his downfall was warmly welcomed. How interesting, then, that a depiction of a future ideal time is with the words of David HaMelech, Az Yamale Sechok Pinu, then we will be able to laugh. But the joy of his downfall was widespread. Gam Baroshim Samchu Lecha Arzei Levanon, even the cypress trees rejoice for you, the cedars of Lebanon. Me'az Shachafta Lo Ya'ala HaKoris Aleinu, since you have lain down, the tree cutter will not come up against us. The Arazim, cedars, were not native for Babylonian soil. When Nebuchadnezzar saw them in the lands of Israel, he uprooted some and planted them in Bavel. According to the Medrash, the Pasuk is saying that the cedar trees themselves were happy that Nebuchadnezzar died, because he used the cedar wood for idolatry, weapons, and destruction, and they did not want their wood to be used for such purposes. Instead, the cedar wood wanted to be used for the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Vali says the people in charge of the wood were happy when he died because they preferred the wood to be used for positive, purposeful uses. This means they cared more about morals than their income. Surely Nebuchadnezzar paid nicely for this wood, but they did not want the wood to be used for destructive tools. Others feel Baroshim and Arazim are metaphors for government officials who joined the common people in rejoicing over Nebuchadnezzar's death. Even leaders suffered under his rule, suffering greatly at any wrong move, being cut down as a result. And so they celebrate that the tree cutter won't attack them anymore. Sha'ol mitachas ragzalacha lekras bo'echa. The deep pit underneath is excited for you, to greet you on your arrival. Even those who have passed on join in celebrating this tyrant's fall and are excited to escort him to Gehenna, to hell. Radak and Metudas David, however, interpret Ragzah as fear and panic. Even the dead are panicked to welcome him to their world, an indication of how evil Nebuchadnezzar was. They are worried that Nebuchadnezzar will continue his evil plans even in the afterlife. But the dead will look at him and say, "You ultimately had the same ending as the rest of us. Ech nafalta mishemayim. You fell from your lofty arrogance. You saw yourself as invincible, but here you are with those you killed." The next few psukim contrast his downfall with his original plans. Ve'ata amarta bilvavcha hashamayim e'eleh. You said in your heart, "I will reach the heavens." He saw himself as a god, not needing anyone or anything. You thought you could overcome kochvei el, the Jewish people who are compared to the stars, and take over Har Moed, Yerushalayim, and finally the Yarkasei Tzafon, the Beis HaMikdash. Yarkasei Tzafon was a phrase originally said in Tehillim by David HaMelech. Yarkasayim indicates the focal point of an area, and everything else serves as the pathways towards that center. The Beis HaMikdash was not actually in the Tzafon, in the north, but it was the focal point of the entire land of Israel, where even those in the north looked towards. You, Nebuchadnezzar, tried to take over Yarkasei Tzafon, but will end up in the Yarkasei Bor, the bottom of the pit. And in the most clear terms, Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Edame le'elyon, I will be similar to the Most High." Here we get a little confused. When God named Adam, man, the original creation, he called him Adam because this shoresh shows the potential in man. He can act like the Adama, the earth he was made from, or be Edame le'elyon, similar to God. Every human has this struggle and choice. Will one lower himself to reflect the earthly part of him, or make godly choices and actualize that higher potential within him? So here we see Nebuchadnezzar trying to be Edame le'elyon. So why are we suggesting he is to blame for this? There is a difference between trying to be godly and trying to be God. In fact, the downfall in the Garden of Eden was the blur between these two. Being godly is trying to be like God, not God himself. Nebuchadnezzar's actions are a testimony to his disinterest in subjugating himself to a higher being or being a reflection of God. He acted in a way that clearly demonstrated he saw himself as God. Instead of trying to be like God, he equated himself to God. One proof is that he built a golden image of himself that he forced people to bow down to and killed those who refused. Three of those that refused were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whose bones were resurrected by Yechezkel in the Atzamot Yeveshot, the vision of the dried bones. But Nebuchadnezzar was repaid for his evil leadership and destructive impact. Nebuchadnezzar's son and successor, Evil-Merodach, realized the people were panicked he would rule like his father. To get the people's approval and show a disapproval of his father's evil ways, he had his father's body dragged out where it was publicly mutilated by the public who pierced his body with swords. They then threw his body into a pit. Yeshayahu also foresaw that his descendants would be humiliated to associate themselves with Nebuchadnezzar as an ancestor. Despite his attempts to achieve lasting fame, many will try to destroy his memory from the earth, even his closest family. Psukim 22 through 23, the words Na'um Hashem appear three times. This is to emphasize that this whole message seems far off and unrealistic to the people of Yeshayahu's generation. But when all this plays out on history stage, you will know it was his story. The final six psukim end discussing the downfall of the Plishtim. The Plishtim are enemies that have been part of the Jewish story since Abraham. They instigated trouble throughout the Torah and the books of Yehoshua, Shoftim, and Shmuel. But Hashem promises, L'shpor Ashur ba'artzi v'al harai avusenu, to break Ashur in my land and crush him on my mountain. Al tismichi plashes kulech, Plishtim, you should not rejoice. When Achaz the king died, the Plishtim were excited because seeing that his son Chizkiyahu was becoming king, they sniffed a kinder, more wholesome leader, which in their minds meant easy to take over and defeat. Ki mishoresh nachash yetzei tsefa, for from the root of a snake will come a python, upiryo seraph me'ofeif, and its fruit will be a flying serpent. This sentence stem is a strong throwback to verse 1 in chapter 11, where some commentators believed it was talking about Chizkiyahu. Here, too, Yeshayahu is referring to Chizkiyahu. You, Plishtim, might underestimate Chizkiyahu's strength and potential, but he will be a python, even stronger than his father. The parak ends with the following pasuk. Uma ya'aneh mal'achei goy. And what will the messengers of a nation say? Ki Hashem yisad Zion, that Hashem firmly established Yerushalayim. Uba yachasu aniyei amo. And in it will the poor of the nation place their trust. Note that these last four words, Uva Yachasu Aniye Amo, are part of the Lechadodi Tefillah on Friday night. Lechadodi is about our return to Israel and Yerushalayim. Rashi understands these poor people to be the 10 tribes who will be brought back to Hashem in Yerushalayim. But what is it in that the poor people are placing their trust? Rav Julius Hirsch understands that they will find security and peace in the Torah's laws, which look out for the poor, widow, and helpless. Others, like Mitzudas David, understand that they will have faith in Yerushalayim. On his commentary to Lecha Dodi, Rav Hirsch explains, even though Yerushalayim is still in ruins and oppressors try to destroy her, they will all eventually perish. Zion and Israel will live on. There will come a time when all the attacks will end and she will witness the promises made long ago finally come to fruition. And through her rebirth, people surrounding Yerushalayim will find joy and serenity in a city that consoles and comforts its inhabitants. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmat, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat, Alexander Sender.